Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. You know, we hope that you've had a great week and that today that you're going to be able to just rest and enjoy this Sunday and be able to worship the Lord in it. Now, before we turn the services over to Brother Wayne, we did want to take just a second and give you a personal invitation to actually come and worship the Lord with us in person today. We're going to be meeting. Our church building is in Forestdale, Missouri. We're going to be there at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship services, and that address in Forestdale is 124 South Main Street. Now, Forestdale is right in between Wright City and Wentzville, so whether you're living in Wright City or Wentzville or Lake St. Louis or any of those surrounding areas, Forestdale is just right there, easy to get to, right off the interstate, and we'd love for you to be able to come and just take this day, set it aside for the Lord, and just fellowship around Jesus Christ. Now, we do need to go ahead and get on with the message this morning for the radio broadcast. So as we turn the sermon over to Brother Wayne, I want to remind everybody that our topic is the death of Jesus Christ, and we've been dealing with that for the last few weeks. And so without any further delay, let's go ahead and turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds.
Our text today will be in the book of Mark, chapter 15, and verse 21, as we think on Simon of Cyrene. You know, in reading this passage, I find that sometimes there's happenstances in our lives that changes our lives dramatically. There are some things that happen to us that are not planned on happening. We didn't want our lives to go this way, but God has a way of changing things. Now read with me. In the book of Mark, chapter 15, the Bible says in verse 16, that the soldiers led Jesus Christ away into the hall. And there they clothed him with purple, and they platted a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. And they began to salute him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews." The Bible said in verse 19, and they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing knees, they worshipped him. The Bible said in verse 20, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. And then we find in verse 21 a rather strange verse, because it doesn't seem like it's even related at all, and yet it is. The Bible said in verse 21, and they compel one, Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And then verse 22, the Bible goes on with the subject, and they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. Sometimes God intervenes in our lives in miraculous ways. Sometimes God touches us in ways that we didn't even think about. I think this is what happened here to Simon. I think he was going on his way. The Bible says that he was passing by. He was coming out of the country. But God had something else on his mind for him, just as God sometimes has something else on his mind for us. Sometimes God changes the way that we look at things. And I think this is what happened to this man as he went about his daily life. Now, first of all, I want to say that this verse leads me to believe that Christ never carried his cross at all. I believe that it is a wicked tradition that teaches that Christ carried his cross on the way to Calvary. But he became unable to carry it, and that he stumbled and dropped it, and therefore they forced this man to carry the cross the rest of the way. The reason that I don't believe that is because I don't find any scripture at all that declares that Jesus Christ ever carried his cross. I don't find any scripture at all that says that Jesus Christ ever became unable to carry it, or that he stumbled and that he dropped it. I don't find any scripture at all to prove that. And we ought to believe just what the Bible says, right? Nothing else. We believe only what the Bible says for us. And the Bible says that they chose Simon to carry this cross. I don't know much about this man. From what I can find out about him, that he is from the city of Cyrene, which is now called Tripoli. It's a seaport city on the continent of Africa. Simon could have been a black man, but there's no reason to think that. Some of the commentaries state that he was a black man. He was placed there in Africa by the Greeks about 630 B.C. That's what they say. But I'm not saying that Simon was a Jew. I don't think he was. But I don't think he was a true believer in Christ when he first came to Jerusalem. But when he was at Jerusalem, I believe this man saw plenty of evidence proving that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. There were some Cyrenians that were present on the Feast of Pentecost. These are unbelievers, of course, but some may have seen some of the truth on the day of Pentecost before Peter ever preached the message. There were some 17 nations present who heard the early church speak in their own language. The Bible records this in Acts 2 and verses 1 through verse number 4. The Bible said, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now today I know that there are religious folks who believe that these tongues are some kind of heavenly language that nobody can understand. But this is not what the Bible records in the book of Acts, chapter 2. The Bible said these men, they began to speak with other tongues, that is, with other languages. And we'll show you in the Bible in Acts chapter 2 that there were other people that did understand what they were saying. The Bible records that there was only about three of these men that were speaking. It wasn't all the men, and all of them weren't talking at the same time. The Bible said in verse number 5, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven." This tells us that in the city of Jerusalem, there were these Jews who were from every nation under heaven. The Bible said in verse 6, "Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together." And so, we find that on the day of Pentecost, that when all these different languages were being declared, that all these nations, all these different people, they came together and they were confounded. The Bible said in verse number 6, "Because that every man heard them speak in his own language." And we'll go ahead and read and we'll understand that these people heard them speak in their native tongue. In verse number 7, "And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" So the Bible says very clearly here that on the day of Pentecost, when these men began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they were speaking in such a way that the Holy Spirit was able to take what they said and make it known unto the people that were born in other places. And the Bible said in verse number 9, "Parthenians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea, Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Pygeria and Pamphylia and Egypt and in parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers and of Rome, Jews and proselytes." Verse 11, "Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And so here in the Bible makes it very clear, does it not, that these people, they heard them speak and they come together. The Bible said in verse number 6, they came together and they were confounded because every man heard them speak in their own language. They didn't know what was going on, but they heard the wonderful works of God. That's what the Bible says. Who were these people? The Bible said in verse number 10, we're talking here about Simon of Cyrene. The Bible said in verse number 10 that some of these people heard the truth of the Word of God, and their birthplace was in the country of Cyrene. It is no accident at all that Simon was at Jerusalem. According to Mark 15, verse 21, it was by chance that Simon was chosen to carry the cross as he passed by, as he was coming out of the country. It appears that Simon was leaving Jerusalem and is carrying the cross of Christ, changed his life and the life of his entire family. Wow! This is a remarkable thing indeed. What one man saw on that day that Jesus Christ was crucified would change his entire life. You know why I believe that Simon had his life changed? Because the Bible says in the book of Mark chapter 15 and verse number 21, the Bible mentions here two names, his sons. That's right. His sons' names were mentioned. The father of Alexander and Rufus to bear his cross. I don't believe that that's any kind of accident at all. I believe that when Simon saw the great things that was going on there in that day, even though he didn't believe in Christ, it changed his life. It changed his family's life. It gave them hope. It gave them help in this present world in which we now live. What was Simon really doing in Jerusalem? Well, we really don't know. But we know this, that he could have been there to worship God. I don't know. He had probably heard about Jesus Christ, but being a foreigner in the land, wasn't overly concerned with Jesus Christ. He would worship, and then he would go back home. But the soldiers compelled Simon to bear the cross of Jesus Christ. Thus, it changed his life and the life of his entire family. I don't believe the people that crucified Jesus Christ was even thinking about this. But Jesus Christ did. Isn't it marvelous that when men do their worst, God can still do his best? Isn't that wonderful that that can happen that way? You know, people today may persecute us because we believe in Jesus Christ. But there are those watching us as we are persecuted for righteousness' sake that God just might save and God might use his entire family in his eternal work. It's a great thing to be used in that way. It is easy to see that Simon was thrust into a situation he would rather not be in. He was not a volunteer, but he was compelled to bear the cross of Christ. He was thrust into the very heart of the matter without his consent. But God used this event, and God used his being at the cross to reveal to him the truth of Jesus Christ and salvation from sin. There was a possession of people that was following Christ to the cross. And Simon was put in a good position to know everything that went on. There was a possession of people marching toward Calvary. Jesus with the two thieves and all of the armed guards that was all the way around them. Somewhere in the crowd of people traveling to Calvary was Simon carrying the cross of Jesus Christ. There was also a great company of people, which probably included the women that were crying and weeping and mourning because they didn't want Jesus Christ to die. But they saw it coming, and they were much grieved because of it. But on the way to Calvary, there was an incident that no doubt Simon saw. In Luke 23 and verse 27 through 31, Jesus Christ turns to the woman, and he tells them not to weep for him. Rather, he tells them to weep for themselves. Simon was there, and Simon heard what Jesus said unto those women. The Bible said in Luke 23, verse 27, and there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? I believe that Simon saw all of this. I believe he heard the words of Jesus Christ as he spoke these words to the women that followed him and bewailed him. But notice also in Luke 23 and verse 33, the Bible said, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. When they got to Calvary, it is very likely that Simon stayed and watched as the nails were driven into the hands and into the feet of Jesus Christ. But there's something else remarkable about this, that when they drove the nails into the hands and into the feet of Christ, he didn't cry out in pain. I think the other two did, but Jesus Christ did not. How do you know that? How do you know that Jesus Christ did not cry out in anguish, in pain? Because you know that it would hurt when the nails were driven into his hands and into his feet. I know that because of Isaiah 53 and verse number 7. Notice what the Bible says in this place. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. It's amazing, is it not, that Jesus Christ did not say a word when they drove the nails into his hands and into his feet. You know that that would hurt. But Jesus Christ never uttered a sound when that happened. But Simon heard the next thing. In Luke 23 and verse 34, it is very likely that Simon heard Jesus when he prayed to his Father, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is a remarkable thing indeed, that Simon was able to see and able to hear, and sometimes to not hear, the cries that Jesus Christ would cry when they nailed him to the cross. It's a remarkable comparison. When you think about that, Simon would also see and hear the soldiers as they gambled for the garment of Jesus Christ. Mark 15, verse 17 through 20 states, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and bowing their knees worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. It should be noted that Simon was not there when that happened. Simon probably did not hear when they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Simon probably was not there when they smote him on the head with a reed and spit upon him. But Simon was there when Jesus Christ was led to the cross of Calvary, wearing his own clothes. The Bible said that they took off the purple robes from Christ, and they put his own clothes upon him. But then, at the cross, Simon was there when they removed Jesus Christ's clothes before the crucifixion, and there the soldiers gambled for them. Matthew 27, verse 35 states, "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet, and they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." Why would they cast lots for the garments of Jesus Christ? The Bible says in John 19 and verse 24, "They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it." They said, "Let's not tear it up, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled which said, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did." In Luke 23, verse 35 through verse 37, Simon probably heard the cruel mocking and noticed that Christ replied nothing, nor struck out against his accusers. Verse 35 records that the rulers derided Christ. That is, that they sneered at him, or they scoffed at him, or they turned up their noses at him. And they said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if it be the Christ, the chosen of God." But Jesus Christ was silent. In Luke 23 and verse 36, declares that the soldiers mocked Jesus Christ. They brought him vinegar to drink. And they said, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." The Bible then records the superscription, or the sign, that Pilate had caused to be written and placed above our crucified Savior so that all could see. Simon probably saw the sign over the cross, which was written in three languages that everybody could see it. And the sign was written in Greek and Latin and Hebrew. And the sign that Pilate wrote said, "This is the King of the Jews." It is amazing, is it not, that the thieves were not mocked. At least the Bible doesn't say they were mocked. Instead, the Bible records in verse 39 that one of the thieves railed, that is, they blasphemed or spoke reproachfully about Christ, and said, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." Luke 23 and verse 43. It is likely that Simon heard Jesus tell the penitent thief that they would both be in paradise that day. In Luke 23 and verse 44 and 45, Simon was probably there during the 3 hours of darkness when the veil was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. In Luke 23 and verse 46, Simon was probably there when Jesus Christ cried, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." In Luke 23 and verse 47 through verse 49, when the people saw all the events that had taken place on the cross of Calvary, the Bible said that they smote their breast and they returned. Everybody there knew that Jesus Christ was special. The Bible says, "Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man." There's no doubt that this centurion had seen many people die on the cross, but nobody had ever died like Christ. Nobody had ever suffered so silently as he had suffered. The Bible said in verse 48, and all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things that were done, smote their breast and returned. And all of his acquaintance and all the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. It's amazing, is it not, that they were so impressed with Christ's death. But remember that in Mark 15, verse 21, the Bible states here, "And they compel one Simon a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexandria and Rufus, to bear his cross." This tells me that the events of this day was etched permanently in the mind of Simon, that he remembered, that he stuck with it. He could never get away from it. The events that took place in that day. I believe that Alexandria and Rufus both had their lives changed this day by the things that their dad saw and heard. In the book of Romans 16, verse number 13, the Bible said, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." This is a very remarkable scripture, as this passage completes the circle of the family of Simon of Cyrene. Rufus is chosen in the Lord, and Paul declares that Rufus' mother is also his own mother. He doesn't mean, of course, that the woman is his mother in the flesh, but in the spirit. This passage reveals that Simon led his entire family to the Lord, and they remain faithful to God. There's indications even that they moved from Cyrene to Jerusalem, or they would just move anywhere else, that they might go to serve God and be faithful to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Rufus is living at Rome, which is a long way from his dad's hometown. This tells us that nothing happens by accident. In the death of Jesus Christ, there's this man, Simon of Cyrene, that God touched in a marvelous and a wonderful way. And God touched his family as well. Listen, Jesus Christ, death on the cross of Calvary, is a marvelous thing. If you're lost today, I pray for you that God would reach down and God would save your eternal soul through this story of Simon of Cyrene. You might be thinking that nothing like this will ever happen to you, but it can. If you would submit yourself to the power of Almighty God and just recognize that He can take care of all of your sins. This is the reason that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to believe in Him. He wants to make a difference in your life just as He made a difference in the lives of Simon and the lives of His two sons. Do you think that Jesus Christ can make such a difference in you? Listen, I know that He can. I know personally that Jesus Christ can make your life worthwhile. Just repent that you're a lost sinner and trust the Lord Jesus Christ that He can wash away all of your sins.
You know, how many people have died, and in some cases may even have died for others, but no one gave like Jesus gave. No one cared like Jesus cared. No one died like Jesus died. He was the creator of all things. He not only died for someone else, but He actually took on their sins and paid for them. He died for those that didn't deserve it. He died for those that didn't even love Him in return at the time. And He paid for their sins. And if you've never seen that you're lost, our prayer for you today is that the Lord would change your heart, show you that you're a lost sinner, and then show you there is a way of hope, that you would turn away from your sin, beg God for forgiveness, and trust in the work that Jesus Christ has done. Accept Him as your personal Savior today. And if you'd like to hear more about the story of salvation, please call us at 636-673-2180 or log on to our website at independencebaptist.org. Well, our time is gone, but we are thankful you're able to join us, and we pray you'll be able to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.